When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Optimal Living Daily, episode 2696, Minimalism, Part 1, by Mark Manson of markmanson.net. And I'm your narrator, Justin Mollick, reading you blogs every single day of the year. Now, today's article is a little longer than normal, so I'll read the first half now and then finish up the rest tomorrow. So with that, let's get right to Part 1 as we optimize your life. Minimalism, Part 1, by Mark Manson of markmanson.net. This is everything I own: a MacBook Pro, an iPad, an unlocked iPhone, 7 shirts, 2 pairs of jeans, 2 jackets, 1 coat, 1 sweater, 2 pairs of shoes, a suitcase, a backpack, some gym shorts, bathroom stuff, socks, and underwear. That's it. Everything I own can be easily packed into a small suitcase and moved within 30 minutes. There's nothing that I want that I don't already own. And this is despite owning a 6-figure internet business. In Fight Club, Tyler Durden made the bold claim, quote, "The things you own end up owning you," end quote. Although I think that's true, I'm not going to be a zealot here and try to convince you to throw away all of your possessions and go live on a mountain or something. Obviously, you have a life and a home, perhaps a family, and needs, and a radical shift in lifestyle wouldn't be practical for many of you. I live in a new country every 3 months, run my entire life from my laptop, and rent furnished apartments everywhere I go. I realize that's not a typical luxury. But what I am going to try to convince you is that you probably don't need as much of the stuff you think you do, and that getting rid of much of it can be surprisingly liberating as well as make you happier. Back in 2007, I went broke after graduating university. To deal with this, I sold most of my possessions and moved onto a friend's couch temporarily. At the time, it was painful. My bed, my desk, a lot of my books and CDs, pictures, and who knows what else. I remember it felt excruciating. But despite my perception of selling everything, I still moved into my friend's place with 2 large boxes of a full suitcase of clothes, desktop computer, desk chair, TV stand, don't ask, and other odds and ends. For the 6 months I lived on that couch, 75% of everything I owned sat neatly in boxes, untouched. The next year, with a struggling online business, no money, and nowhere to go, I moved home to live with mom for a while. Since shipping a box full of stuff from Boston to Texas cost $100 at the time, and that was about $100 more than I could afford to spend, I jettisoned even more stuff. On Craigslist, everything went. Goodbye bicycle, messenger bag, the high-end poker chip set I won in a tournament, framed pictures, dumbbell weights, yoga mat, basketball, PlayStation 2, and games. It hurt. It's funny now, but looking back, I really felt like a failure because I was selling all my possessions to keep my business afloat, like it was this massive sacrifice. Aside from my clothes and suitcase, all I kept was my guitar and a small box of books. 6 months later, I began my foray into the mobile Tim Ferriss-inspired lifestyle. I visited Brazil and moved to Buenos Aires. I took one large suitcase with me and spent hours to days before I left deliberating over how I was going to fit everything I quote-unquote needed into one single suitcase for 3 to 6 months abroad. Which tools do I bring? Which raincoat should I bring? Fitness supplements, external hard drives, extra pair of running shoes, clothes iron, and cooking spices all seemed like necessities at the time. Needless to say, I didn't use half of the stuff I brought to Argentina, and I've since rid myself of literally everything I don't use semi-regularly. These days, I live out of a suitcase smaller than most people take on a 4-day beach vacation and a small backpack for my laptop. Most of what I own is expensive, but is purchased with the purpose of efficiency and utility, not for entertainment, status, or whim. That may sound a little extreme to some of you, and it is. But, and this is a big but, every step along the way, getting rid of what I didn't absolutely need was painful, but at no point did I ever miss anything once it was gone, ever. The only exception is my guitar, which I left at my mom's because I didn't want to travel with it. Aside from that, I don't remember most of the crap I owned, much less miss it. I couldn't tell you what hung on my wall, what the color of my couch was, where I bought my television, which video games I owned without thinking very, very hard. In fact, not only do I not miss anything I got rid of, but the thought of spending money on more of the same possessions instead of life experiences and relationships with others sounds absolutely insane to me now. Identity investment and loss aversion. There are two psychological factors at play in owning a bunch of stuff, and I think both lower the overall quality of life: identity investment and loss aversion. Identity investment is what Fight Club ribs at when it makes fun of the need to own a bunch of nice stuff, particularly in American culture. Americans are incredibly materialistic, often without even realizing it. A friend of mine recently told me when he was a young professional, he spent endless amounts of time crafting his apartment to be the perfect place to bring people, buying the right furniture to represent his identity, decorating and redecorating. The irony is that he put all of his time and effort into making his apartment perfect to bring people to instead of actually, you know, going out and meeting people to bring to his apartment. He described this as a depressing and miserable period of his life. This sort of identity investment in possessions is pushed onto us by advertising, and it works well. People become attached to the companies that make their car or truck, their computers, their clothing, their appliances, etc. They spent months saving up for an item, spent a lot of mental energy choosing which item represents them best. Therefore, they begin identifying themselves as a Ford guy or a Mac user or whatever. This becomes part of your identity, no matter how small, that you portray to others in your life. And if you've learned anything from this blog, it should be that investing your identity in factors outside of yourself, interactions, what people think of you, how much money you make, stuff you own, isn't healthy and lowers your self-esteem. To be continued. You just listened to part one of the post titled Minimalism by Mark Manson of markmanson.net. Thank you to Mark. I've narrated a lot of his work, but this is the first article I've seen where he's talked about owning only a suitcase's worth of stuff, and for 7 years, which is a really long time to live with so few items. There's a good quote in there that bears repeating when it comes to minimalism. Every step along the way, getting rid of what I didn't absolutely need was painful, but at no point did I ever miss anything once it was gone, ever. I think we should all let that sink in. I can imagine missing certain things in my life, but at least temporarily, but I'm not sure with 100% certainty that I would always miss some particular item. And that is freeing to think about, at least for me. Unloading that attachment is actually really nice. I don't know, maybe that is just me, but I think it's worth thinking about. But we're only halfway through at this point, so we'll see where this goes tomorrow. In the meantime, have a great rest of your day. Thank you for being here, and I'll catch you tomorrow where we'll finish up this post and where your optimal life awaits.